You know, that's what we're supposed to do. And the same thing with God. We want to challenge you to honor him every single day. Don't just do it on a special occasion. Do it every day. It means so much that you guys are here with us. Grab a pen and your bulletin insert. And just stay tuned to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. If he gives you something, please write it down. Stay in tune with what he's telling you. Don't worry about what I'm saying. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will find me, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." So let's pray. Father, we just come in Jesus' name and we ask that you open up every heart, bind up every distraction, cause us to search with you with our whole heart today, Lord. Speak to every heart and give us your directions and your answers in Jesus' name. And you'll open your Bibles to Genesis 1:20. Oh, it's still. All right. This is a... Am I on? Okay. Well, just one theological preach. It's more like a long announcement. So... for those of you who know me, I just do announcements, so this is just going to be a little bit longer than normal. That's all. it's my testimony. All right, how's that? So this is just my testimony. It's not theological, just my testimony of how I met God. So I'm just praying that as I'm sharing of how I met God, that something will speak to your heart and you will meet him today too. So we have a triune God, and in Genesis 1:26, God says, Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Man, I don't know about you guys, but the singular noun of God and the us and the our in that sentence is mind-blowing. It's a singular God, but with three people, and it's that three-in-one concept. What a hard concept to describe, and what an even more difficult concept to do something with. When I was young, I had a pastor describe the three-in-one concept as being like all balls. And let me explain what he said. He said that just like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were just like a football, a tennis ball, and a basketball, they were all balls, but they were different. And I loved that example because it kind of gave me something to laugh at, but it wasn't very helpful when I wanted to actually meet God. And so here is my story of how I met God. Meet God, Jesus, the only Son, aka the Word. So if you say, "Yes, Tiffany, got it, the Word, it's in red, got it, those are the words of Jesus," you're on the right path, so stay tuned with me. So like many of you guys, my mom brought me to the knowledge of Jesus, and I was blessed to have a mom that showed me that Jesus was the way to salvation. I was blessed to have a mom that brought me to church. She showed me how to serve. She showed me how to tithe. She showed me to stay away from things like the occult, horoscopes, palm readers, Ouija boards. She showed me how to sing in church. And she also let me go on church retreats, which was vital for me. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus has so many names, but today I'm going to tell you about how I met him as the Word. So when I began my relationship with Jesus, I was really brokenhearted. I had been in a relationship that ended in betrayal, in a lie, and in a lot of deceit. And I was heartbroken, and the Word of God says that he is close to the brokenhearted, so... lucky for me, that was true because I was losing it. So one day as I was mourning the loss of this relationship and kind of mulling over all the betrayal and everything, I was cleaning house and That was something that I only did when I was upset, so newsflash. And I was just turning through radio stations, and I heard somebody really funny, and so I kept it on that station, and I just continued to clean and found out that this funny guy was a preacher. And as we would have it, that guy said, Jesus commands us in his word to forgive. And I had been in church a long time, and I'd never heard that. I had no idea that forgiveness was a commandment. And I was still kind of mulling over this relationship that had ended in deceit and betrayal. And so I kind of understood in my head, but my heart rather, but in my head I said, this person never came to me and asked me for forgiveness. That's not what I'm supposed to do. They're supposed to come to me. And as if the preacher could hear my thoughts, he said, it doesn't matter if they came to you and asked for you for forgiveness. That's not what the Word of God says. I was like, okay, maybe he heard me. So I was like, well, he doesn't even know how much he hurt me. This person doesn't even realize that they hurt me, and they don't care. And again, the guy like read my thoughts and was like, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God doesn't say if they are absolutely sorry that they wronged you and come to you and say, I'll never do it again. The Word of God commands you to forgive. And I just kind of thought, you're crazy, Lord. If that's really what you're saying, you're crazy. You need me to tell you the facts again from the beginning. I'll go through point by point, and I'm sure I will win you over, because if I tell anybody in the world all of the case, then you would say guilty. You would say this person doesn't need to be forgiven. It's too much. So I went on with cleaning that day, and I just really tried as best as I could to forget that terrible, awful sermon. Maybe you might be trying to do that after today with this sermon, but I just tried to forget. But it was just too late. The Word of God had been planted into my heart, and I just knew that forgiveness was a commandment that the Lord wanted me to do. And so for weeks, I just kept going around and around with the Lord, and I said, you know, I'm supposed to forgive, but I don't have anything in me that can. So, hello, impossible situation. It's not going to happen. And I just kind of kept telling the Lord my end of the story and recounting it. And it's almost like a record player in my head. But one day, I think the Lord just kind of basically wore me out, to be honest, because he just kept coming. And finally, I was like, Lord, I think I hear you telling me to forgive. And so I did some things that were totally different than what I understood to do. One day at my kitchen table, I recognized that voice that I'd been hearing over and over and over to forgive, I recognized that was God trying to talk to me, which was a concept I had never really experienced. And then I was like, wow, you've been trying to talk to me for quite a few weeks, because this has been a really long time. So I recognized the Word of God was coming to my heart. And I don't mean audibly, I just mean he was coming to my heart telling me what his word was. So I accepted the word. I accepted what Jesus said. And so I want to challenge you. Is there something that the Lord has been telling you over and over and over? Maybe you haven't even really tuned into it. Has he been telling you something? Write that down. If there's just been a recurring theme, write it down. And see what the Lord has for you in it. Sometimes just writing it down helps so much. And so going back to my story, when I was sitting at that breakfast table and I agreed with the word, and then I did something else a little radical. I confessed out loud what I thought I heard him saying. So I said, Lord, I think I hear you telling me to forgive, and I will, but you're going to have to come down and do it through me. And when I told God to come down and forgive through me, I had no idea that that was biblical. I grew up in a church where you didn't really want to do anything to offend God, and that was probably pretty offensive. So I really didn't know what to expect. But glory to God that the Lord didn't really care what background I had. He just saw an open heart that said, come on, Lord. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I was really familiar growing up with Ephesians 1:13. And what that verse says is, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance. And so, in short, this is the version of Christianity that I grew up with. Believe, and one day you get to go to heaven. That's all I knew. Believe, accept Jesus, one day you get to go to heaven. And that is absolutely part of it. That is true, and it's part of it. When you receive Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that means one day we get to go to heaven. But as Paige is looking at me, she knows that when we do our children's church, we say, is forever now? Absolutely. And is forever later? Absolutely. Because we have something called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit allows us to bring heaven to earth right now. We don't have to wait one day. You know, people go, oh, that would be so great if we got to go to heaven right now. Well, it's even better. We're called to bring it down right now. You're called to bring heaven to earth right now. And so John 14:16, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The word of God says Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. I had no idea, y'all. I just knew I had nothing in me that could forgive the terrible, awful done, and I actually really needed help. I needed help on how to do it. So the power of God filled me up, and he gave me power to forgive and to do the will of God. And along with that came a free gift with purchase. If you like a free gift with purchase, he got me his character, which was joy and peace and all of his gifts. So the Holy Spirit was just this total new radical thing that was awesome. And so I want you guys to kind of go back to your sheets, and I want you to ask, is God the Holy Spirit? Are you sealed with him? Are you filled with him? When you try to do the will of God, is it easy for you or is it hard? You might need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up. Maybe you're struggling with a sin that you can't overcome. Maybe you're yelling at your kids, or you're screaming at your husband or wife, or you're hating, or you're addicted to something that's bad, that is not supposed to be in the temple of your body. Maybe it's fantasies or overeating or worry or pride or looking at the wrong thing. Maybe you're having a really hard time making good choices. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you up, to have that power to overcome. Maybe you're not able to do the will of God for your life. Maybe you say, I would love to get up and read my Bible, but I can only get on my computer and I can't really get into the Word of God. I can't get up and go to church. I can't make godly friends. I can't worship. Maybe you're having trouble doing the Father's will. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up to have the power to do his will. And maybe just like me, you are having trouble with forgiving someone. Maybe someone has hurt you, or worse, hurt your kids, or maybe they've hurt a loved one. It's one thing if you forgive somebody who's hurt you, but when you go that next level of somebody who's hurt a loved one, ooh, you need the power of God to help you on that. You set your will to it, and then you do it. Maybe you have trouble forgiving yourself. Maybe you're having a really hard time forgiving yourself for your past. You know what the Word of God says, that he has put your sins as far as the east is from the west and as far as the heavens are from the earth. So if God can forgive you, if he sent his son on the cross to die for you, forgive yourself. Don't put yourself guilty when Jesus says not guilty to you. If you're having just that conviction inside going, man, I feel really bad. I'm not doing the will of the Father. Just feel encouraged. You were never, ever supposed to do the will of God without the Holy Spirit. Jesus's last words, or some of his last words to his disciples were, wait. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. Don't do anything until you get the promise from my Father. And so I want to challenge you on this Mother's Day to take inventory of your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Are you sealed for heaven one day because you have believed and accepted Jesus? If so, awesome. We thank God for you. You were born with eternity. but where you spend it is up to you. And so when you took inventory, if you said, I don't think I've actually invited Jesus into my heart, I just want to lead you in a special prayer. And it's something that I teach the kids every single Sunday. Jesus, come into my heart. It's really, really simple. For the adults, we just will say, Jesus, come into my heart and live with me forever. I make you my king. And if you haven't said that yet, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can open up your heart and say, Jesus, come live with me. And so if you've said that, I just want to go ahead and honor God by saying it out loud together. So if us as a body will repeat it, and anybody who is saying it for the first time, you'll kind of fit right in with us. So you'll repeat after me. Jesus, come into my heart. Live with me forever. I make you my king. Amen. And so if you have said that prayer for the very first time today, please see one of our ushers or Pastor Mike or myself or the prayer team. We like to give you a Bible and a Bible promise book and pray with you and get you plugged in so that you can grow in the Lord. The second check is to see if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's also on your line. Is there power in your religion? Again, I grew up with a totally different belief system, but the Word of God says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's probably really, really hard for you to do the will of God because you're doing it in your own strength. And this world loves to kick you down when you try to do the will of God. So the Word of God says to desire eagerly spiritual gifts, and you can only do that through the Holy Spirit. The Word of God calls us to make many disciples. So take inventory. When you say, yes, I am absolutely a Christian, but when you look around, okay, am I really making Spirit-filled believers? Who's following me to advance the kingdom of God? That's what we're called to do. Let's take inventory. Let's say, Jesus, come and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's a two-step process to receiving the Holy Spirit. So I want to just encourage you to write that down if you have not done that. So that was meeting Jesus, the Word. And because I couldn't do what his Word told me to do, I had to get the power of the Holy Spirit. So I kind of did a two-for-one all that one day because I was like, okay. So you may need to do that same thing. And years later, I met and began my relationship with God the Father. So this is the last three-in-one of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And my story was just a little different. Again, it's not theological, just my story. So years later, I met Abba Father and Papa. And so on this Mother's Day, you may have a wonderful mom that covered all of your dad's sins, all of your dad's faults. She maybe allowed you to kind of run into your dad's arms. Maybe she was mom and dad. That could have been your mom. Maybe you didn't have a father growing up. Maybe something took him away, or maybe he just left. So I am very blessed to have a wonderful dad on earth. But when my mom passed, something happened to him. And I was found very soon after my mother passed fatherless. And I felt orphaned and abandoned and rejected. And I believed in Father God. I'd heard about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even though that analogy was kind of crummy, I got that we had a three-in-one God. I just never needed my heavenly dad until I was found fatherless on earth. And he is just awesome. I just needed him. And so Jeremiah 29:13 just says, when you search for me with your whole heart, you'll find me. You'll find me. And so I just cried out to my Abba Father. And the minute that I did, he came running. And so I want to challenge you on this Mother's Day. Is your relationship with Abba Father intact? Maybe you were like me, maybe you are like me, and you were just totally lost without your dad. But I want to challenge you to cry out to your Father God and to let him be your dad. Let him be your papa. You always have room at your dad's house. You are always somewhere with your dad. Find your identity in him and listen to what Father says about who you are. Your dad would say to you, "You are the apple of my eye. I never stopped thinking about you. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. I love you, my precious child. You are forgiven. I remember your sins no more. You are holy. I want you to work in the family business. You have what it takes. You are secure in my love. You can never do anything to make me love you more than I already do right now." I want to challenge you, if you haven't started to grow a relationship or have a relationship with Father God, you have to go back to Jesus. You can only have a relationship with Father by coming through the blood of Jesus. But once you do that, you need to have that relationship grow. And that's just a simple step like anything else of spending time with him, seeing what he says about you in his word. So that is my story. I'll lead us in a simple prayer, and then we'll do our annual Mother's Day testimonies. So will you pray with me? Well, Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and we just know that you have spoken to so many of our hearts today on this Mother's Day. Many of us are brokenhearted, and Lord, we know that your word says that you are close to those who are brokenhearted, not because you want to leave us there, but because you want to come and bind us up. Father, we just ask that you would just speak to each and every heart, that each and every one of us would know you in an intimate way, that maybe somebody here has been hearing your voice but hasn't tuned in to say, "Wow, you want to speak to me. You want me to hear you right here." Lord, I ask that every ear be opened and every heart be opened to the things that you want to say. And Lord, as we continue to testify about our moms on earth, Lord, may you just edify every heart here. May every heart feel your loving arms wrapped around them. Lord, we just pray that each and every person does not leave here without a lot of prayer, a lot of hugs, and knowing you as the one true God, our three in one. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to you today in a way you've never heard of before. We're going to have our prayer team at the end of the service after our time of testimony. Come on back up here to the front, and please do not leave this service without having someone pray over you and just love on you in Jesus' name and encourage you in His way. But right now, we want to just give opportunity for those who want to share how their mom has blessed them, has ministered to them, has how God used her to make them into the man, woman, child that they are today. So I'm going to open up the microphone for people to come and share for a minute or so each.
microphone.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Keep going. There you go. Perfect.
Hi, guys. I'm not used to doing this anymore. This is more of a Sharon's thing. I'm usually in the background. Things get done. I want to say, I had a great mom. She did what she had to do to raise 8 kids. It was all
Ooh, baby.
We were very well behaved. Enough said, that's where I get my new Brunswick from. I didn't know from Tiffany with the stiff neck, and I'm like, oh, praise Jesus, I'm good, I'm good. And then the stiff neck comes back, and God slaps me in the back of my head like my mama would have done. And she's not here, but I know I'll see her someday again.
Amen.
I had the most awesome mother-in-law who loved me, and we jokingly say, more than her son. She's no longer here, but I will see her again. Because